Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
What you talking about, Willis? It's Shauna Gillis.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Hit a homer with Jeffrey Bomer.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
Hannah. God, I love that banana. Anderson. Ava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallantine. The Bay Area betches, betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Lulu Simon, Sue Studio.
We're all in with Julia Conlin.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy Cease and DeSisto.
Joey Grant, the Grandmaster. Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters. And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is a cartoon on YouTube. It's basically a parody of Real Housewives of New York. Okay. And joining me is the wonderful and hilarious and multi-talented podcaster himself, the co-host of Roast Pricks, a Bachelor Roast podcast. It's none other than Ronnie Karam, who is broadcasting live from the Regency in New York City.
Well, hi, Ben.
How are you?
Good. It's a video day, and you know I love my new green screen, so I'm going to be at the Regency today. I was trying to find the New York set online, and I could not find it. Come on, Bravo. Come
on. Okay.
Give me some background.
The Regency looks great. You actually look like you're there. So for anyone who wants to see this vision of Ronnie at the Regency, it's at Crappens On Demand. That's a Patreon thing. Patreon.com/WatchWhatCrappens. And don't forget, you can sign up for our Discord server. You can chat with people there and all sorts of other goodies. By the way, very exciting. Our tickets for Atlanta, our Atlanta shows, are officially on sale to the public today. So be sure to get those because we sold out last time. And, you know, grab them while you can because we're fingers crossed, we're going to have another sellout. So go see our Atlanta show. And then, additionally, in 2 weeks from now, we are going to Cleveland, Ohio, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Baltimore, Maryland. Pittsburgh is sold out, so thank you all. But there are still tickets available for Baltimore and Cleveland. So get those because time is running out and there's not too much left. And then we have like a huge, huge fall that's going to be happening. So starting in September, we are going to Charlotte, North Carolina, Nashville, back to Nashville. We got our two shows in Atlanta. We got Carrboro, North Carolina. We got Richmond, Virginia. We got Fort Lauderdale, okay? That's pretty close to Luann's yacht. I'm sorry. We have Indianapolis. We've got two shows in Chicago, two shows in New York, although one sold out. We've got St. Louis. We got two shows in Philadelphia. And our last show of the year is Seattle. We may have one or two more shows that we announce between now and then. I'm not totally sure. We'll have to wait on that. But if you heard a city that you live by, you better come over to our show and be with your Bravo people, okay? Okay?
Okay, and, get your booty and gear, right? Get some tickets.
Get some tickets. And then the last thing that we're going to shill today, of course, is merch. Tell us about it, Rondell.
Well, we have three new shirts up at crappensmerch.com, guys. We've got a Resting Honey Eyes. Wait, what is it? Resting Honey Face for Hannah from Below Deck Med. And we've got a Season 1 Camille shirt.
Love that.
Get in touch with your Season 1 Camille. And we've also got demoted to friend of in honor of Miss Vicky Gumbleson. You know, someone should profit off her demise, damn it. So go over there and get your shirts. Also, we kept the Team LVP shirt up just because, you know, she's going through a hard time. So why not support us?
Yes, exactly. So today we are talking Real Housewives of New York reunion, followed by the Crappens mailbag. Always exciting. I'm still sad that the season is like already over and we're in the reunion phase. I felt like there were like three or four more episodes that we should have gotten, but I'll take what we can get. And this week's episode, this reunion, the whole reunion shebang starts off with the usual thing. The women are in makeup and Andy Cohen is like checking in on them. Hey, what's going on? You know.
Hey, Curly, you've got curly hair today, Dorinda. That's nuts. I didn't do nothing wrong this year.
Yeah, I didn't do anything wrong. And let me tell you something. I'm going to come out there and I'm going to win this claim. It's like, no, this isn't Judge Judy. Oh, where are we?
I have receipts, Angie. I have receipts. He's like, no, this isn't Ross. Okay.
She literally brought her receipts. You know, I believe that she has a bag of receipts. Like how Rinna has her pill bag. I believe that Dorinda totally has a bag of like TJ Maxx, Home Goods receipts.
Totally. Cheese Shop receipts.
Cheese Shop.
I only ate half the Chevre, Angie, and it wasn't good. I want the money back or another half of Chevre. And that's what I'm going to tell Luann.
And you know that Dorinda is, not only does she have a receipt bag, she's probably a receipt bag proselytizer. You know that she's like, you know what you gotta do? You gotta take your receipt, just put it in your bag. That way you always have it. And that way if you ever need to take something back, it's just right there. You don't have to look for it. It's very easy.
I know. That's Hannah. That's the advice she gave Hannah before she left the house. Listen, there's a lot of bad people out there in the world. They're gonna try and hurt you by not letting you return things. So here's the receipt bag. She's like, I thought you were going to give me a stun gun. What the hell is this?
She's still mad at Baz Luhrmann that he has a song called Suntan Lotion. She's like, no, it's not about suntan lotion. What you need is receipt bags. That's what
shut
you should have been saying about.
Receipt bag. Shut up, your receipt bag.
When you graduate from this high school, just remember, receipt bags.
Dorinda's honorary Harvard degree that she's going to get for her work on this show.
Oh, she deserves it. Honestly, I would give her a doctorate.
So then he goes in to see Bethany, and he's like, so you're kind of in a good place, I guess, with everybody? He's like, yeah. You know, look, Andy, before the game starts. Because Bethany's, like, really in the sport zone every time she comes to these. You know, she's like, all right, coming around the corner, Bethany's had a rough year this year. A lot of things happen to Bethany this year. Yep, she's coming around. She's been in court all week. A lawyer says a lot can happen in court, and a lot can happen in reunions, and wins. One.
Wait a second, he's Judge Judy after all.
Doug Llewellyn. She's like, fine. Doug Llewellyn taught me, Doug Llewellyn told me, you know, that reunion is more of a bitch than Judge Judy.
Wait a second, that's not fair.
So now the women come out to stage, and Ramona just gives us a gift right out the bat. She trips on a step and goes, whoa. You know what?
Whoa.
Actually, I'm going to need some help here, okay? I need someone to get me up the one step. Someone, help me. I need to walk up the one step. I don't know how to do this.
Someone, help me get up the step. And after you're done, could you go to my dressing room and please unpack all of my shoes? Thank you, TJ. Okay?
You know, this really gives me a lot of respect from the seminal 90s sitcom Step by Step. Turns out that really is a lot harder than you would think, okay?
Okay, so here we are. Ramona trips. Whoa. That's going down in the Hall of Fame for favorite things that have ever happened on Real Housewives of New York.
Whoa.
So then Dorinda, of course, is the first on stage, and Bethany is, of course, the last on stage. So yeah. Bethany comes on in this, like, I would call it like an Ivanka Trump goes to the UN for lunch dress, like this glitter tight dress. And then Ramona goes, whoa, you got a little Cleopatra thing going on. And Bethany just looks at her like, what the fuck does that even mean?
Like,
wait, seriously?
Do I look like I'm from Egypt? Like what's going on? Like, you know what? Cleopatra, if she were alive today, she wouldn't be killed by an asp. She'd be killed by an ass. Okay, and that's you. Huh? Get it, everyone? A little Cleopatra joke? Anyone?
You're an idiot. You're like a $5 pyramid. All right, shut up over there, Ramona.
Yeah, you know what? I wish you were a sphinx so I could knock your nose off right now, okay? Riddle me this.
And then Bethany's like, seriously? Did you bring your purse, Sonia? Seriously? What do you need your purse for? Why'd you bring your purse? And Sonia's like, well, I'm going to put it behind my chair, but I wanted to have it because I need the tape for my neck. Dorinda's like, you're taping your face? And Andy goes, yeah, that's what all the old broads did back in the day.
Yeah. We're just going to be, like, keeping an eye out for, like, masking tape just to be tumbling out of her, like, back around her neck and her ears for the rest of the reunion.
Sonia has always been on a very slow ride to Patsy from Absolutely Fabulous, and she's officially getting there, okay? I need Sonia to come back with her beehive Ivana Trump hair next year and just make it official.
Love it. You know, I actually really loved Bethany's dress. I thought it was, like, very cool. Tinsley also amused me because she was wearing something that was very pretty, but it also looked like she had, like, taken an oversized first place ribbon from the county fair and just, like, put it on her breast. She's like, well, maybe I'll, like, win this reunion if I already have the ribbon. Power of positive thinking.
Yeah, I liked everybody's, even Sonia's. You know, Sonia's getting a lot of shit for hers, but I like it.
I liked Sonia's. Sonia, because it was Sonia by Sonia Morgan for only $105.
Oh, yes, for five, wasn't it $400? Is that what you said?
No, like, I thought it was $105.
Oh, $105.
Yeah.
Whoa, I mean, I feel like I just stripped on the stage. What?
She really dresses for less. I think the $400 figure came in because, well, basically, Andy is like, Dorinda, so what are you wearing? She's like, don't say it, don't say it. She's like, Giovanni? She's like, it's the last thing she wants to hear.
I know, Dorinda hates Giovanni now. She's like, she won't even say hi to Giovanni at parties
anymore. She only hates it because she was the one who said Giovanni, and that should have been, like, her thing, and, like, you know, like, clip, like, it should have been her t-shirt, but Luann made it her thing instead, so that's why she hates it.
And she doesn't have anything to make her own, because she's going to that Carol showroom, you know, that Carol tried to take someone to, and that Luann's like, well, you know, I want a free dress, and she's like, not even Michelle Obama gets a free dress, or whatever that whole thing was about, and we even get to see a clip of it, but Dorinda's like, I'm wearing Michelle Obama, yeah, she go there a few years ago, remember, and then we see the clip, and she's like, well, you're not going to this showroom anytime soon, Luann, you can keep your $400 dresses, all right? I was like, damn.
Take back your dress. Take back your cabaret.
Are you singing Anything Goes? No.
No, Guys and Dolls. Kate.
What is that?
That's Guys and Dolls.
Take back your mink.
Your mink. Take back your... The problem is I don't remember the rest. I'm in a very musical mood today. I was telling Ronnie beforehand that I have the theme song to Dear John in my head. And it's really, like, informing every decision I make about the words I say. I just wanted to be in a Broadway place today, I guess. Even though Dear John is not Broadway.
Dear John Medesian. By the time you read these lines, you'll be gone only 2 or 3 nights a week. Sorry.
So then Andy's like, well, Luann, so you know, Luann, you weren't here last year, okay? So you entered tonight's reunion with a lot of emotions surrounding you, all right? Mm. Yeah. Y'all just watched the last episode, so, you know, how's your head doing, Luann? She's like,
my head, Andy, my head is humble, Andy, because I was self-absorbed, and I own that.
Yeah.
The same way I own a $1 million home that's round. And I own the fact that I'm touring the country and a hero to a lot of little girls, Andy. Thank you. Thank you for questioning.
I'm humbled. You know, and it takes a lot to humble this head because apparently it's a pumpkin head, according to Carol Radzivill, wherever she is now. But I'm humbled. I'm humbled to bring the art of cabaret to countless millions of children across the world. I believe the children are the cabaret. Sing them well and let them sing the songs.
Can you repeat that? What? Humble? That's crazy. Did everyone hear that? I don't believe it.
By the way, Luann during this portion of the reunion is doing a lot of really loud mmms, you know, to really express that she gets it.
Well, she's facing Dorinda, who's just fucking terrifying. You know, it's really funny how Dorinda can be so sweet and lovable. Dorinda's personality is like a drunk hug, you know, which is a good hug. You know, generally, they're good. But she's also a terrifying human being, man. It must suck to have Dorinda going against you.
Yeah, but Dorinda is also probably, like, I think she's the one that I feel like emotionally most accessible to, because there's something so relatable about how her anger can like segue into hurt and then back into anger and then like happiness. Like, I feel like that is actually such a real thing, and watching her like tumble through these emotions all at once is like, I don't know, like I feel like I just understand her so well, you know. That's why I love Dorinda.
Well, I do too, but I'm a drunk. So then Luann's like, yes, you know, it was a rough season for me, Andy. Listen, it's hard to be around you guys and not drink. I don't think you understand that.
I think that's probably also the realest thing that Luann has ever said. I like that they're all shocked to hear that.
I can't believe Luann just quoted my mother. It was like the craziest thing ever. I was like, my mother's finally made it. One of her quotes made it on TV.
You know, and they all act surprised to hear Luann say that. But I mean, like, do you guys remember how you all acted in Miami? Okay, like, yeah, Luann's a monster, but she's also in recovery. And you guys are drunk and screaming and being just absolutely crazy. I mean, it is a minor miracle she didn't fall off the wagon again, you know?
Yeah. We go to Tinsley next. She's like, I'm good.
I'm so happy.
He's like, so you came out with a line of lashes for eggs. Now your eggs can have really beautiful lashes like my eggs. Oh,
my eggs. And then Ramona's wearing blue. Like, oh, Ramona wearing blue. She's like, and then it's like a thing, because it's like, whoa, it's a deeper blue than Ramona blue than normal. Okay. And
no, Andy, Bethany, of course, calls it out. She's like, that's a deeper blue. That's a deeper blue than Ramona.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like deep blue sea. Okay. I expect the sharks to jump out of it. Okay. So Andy's like, so Ramona, something's different about you. What is that? Which, of course, he knows. He knows the answers to half his questions, by the way, because he and Bethany are clearly, like, gossiping, like, you know, like, texting back and forth for the past 3 months. So Ramona's like, well, you have to tell everyone? Why do you have to tell everyone, Andy Cohen? And basically, she's like, okay, fine, I'll tell everyone. So I have these really bad cavities in front, and I need veneers. I think it's because one time I had some tequila, but it was in a short glass of a tall glass with 3 limes. I think really gave me cavities. So basically, I have new teeth. I'm a top and a bottom.
So Andy's like, well, you know, I was just thinking of this when you came in, Bethany. This is just crazy. Last time at the reunions, Dennis was here. It's like, oh, for crying out loud. Are we going to lead with this? Could you give Bethany 5 minutes to, like, smile and look good in her Ivana dress?
Ivanka
dress. Like, both. For Christ's
sake.
Could be both.
Mother and daughter.
Man, leave her alone.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, he came to last week. You know, he loved it. He loved the minutiae. He liked getting involved in everything. And, you know, he really loved it.
And Andy's like, were you thinking about Dennis today? I mean, Andy, she thinks about Dennis. She sees a red light, she thinks about Dennis, okay? And I'm not even making fun of that. Like, she's going through mourning. Hey, like, what are you thinking about her today when he's come from the past 3 reunions? I mean, what do you think? And of course, she starts to cry.
Yeah, so she starts crying. She's like, yeah, he loved the minutia. Like, he's always on my mind. Like Willie Nelson says, you know, it's like the little things he says. He would always say little things, like, the sun cannot be done. Put your keys in the bowl. Waste not, want not. You know,
we
recycle.
Rewind. 2-for-1 value meal.
So, so yes,
no parking. No parking. No parking. That was one of his favorites. No parking.
He loved that. He loved telling me where I could park and not park. No parking.
You park, I tow.
You park, I tow.
That was actually mine. I made that one up. I've actually towed a lot of cars just for the fun of it. Okay.
So now we get a segment. We sort of jump into a segment about like how half the women moved into new apartments and homes. So we get a big, long segment. We got to see Lori for a second. I thought we'd actually have a little bit more time to talk about Lori on the reunion, but they didn't really get into it. Oh, but she comes up and Dorinda's like, there she is. There she is.
There she is, Magda. Magda, one time I did my bangs with sperm. They look crazy.
Think something about Mary. God bless Magda. I love her.
I was wondering what that was about. Now I get it.
Then we get a clip of everybody moving because everybody, you know, got salary cuts this year. So everybody moved. And Sonia's... We get a clip of Lou in her roundhouse, and Sonja's like, this is where all the cool people live. The chic, discreet ones.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't show an image of Sonia putting up towels on the windows of her new apartment.
I know, that was the best part.
I know, but maybe that'll be saved for, like, the Sonia segment, the proper Sonia segment. So when we come out of the clip package, Andy asks Luann's reaction to Ramona saying that Kingston is a poor town. Luann's like, oh, well, that's just what Ramona does. I mean, do you remember her in Marrakesh, which is not the Plaza Hotel? It is Morocco. And then we just see this clip of Ramona that I just 100% had forgotten about, her being like, whoa, look, there's a poor person. Whoa, there's a goat. Whoa, this would be a poor town. Ho, ho, ho. He's gonna be sleeping outside because he's poor. He sleeps next to a goat. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. Look at that donkey. He's on the wrong side of the road. You're on the wrong side of the road, donkey.
Oh, I'd love to have her have, like, a travel channel. She could pick up at, like, where Anthony Bourdain's show left off. Like, she could take the reins now and just go to different places and be like, whoa, what a country. Okay, you know what? Thank you for serving me this delicacy, but what I really like right now is just a steak, okay? I don't want to have your caviar. Well, actually, I would like to have your caviar. I don't want this caviar, though, okay? Because it's not American caviar.
Yeah, it's just Ramona traveling all the world, calling every place gross.
Yeah, gross, and not eating
this
specialties.
This place is gross. Poor people live here. It's disgusting. Don't travel here, okay?
Why would I ever want to come back to India, okay? I don't understand anything. Like, what? They won't let me stay at the Taj Mahal, so what's even the point of being here?
Why would I go to India? They're like, I don't even like her music, okay? It's like, no, that's Zendaya. Yeah, Ramona.
Zendaya.
Still.
Hello, this is Countess Luann de Lesseps. I'm going to kill you all, but not before this ad. Would you believe it, girls? We have an ad.
So asking Ramona about, like, you know, to defend her comments about Kingston, New York. It's a very important topic. And Ramona goes, actually, my friend is in real estate, and he's, like, not even going to look at Kingston for another 10 or 15 years. So I guess Luann's just ahead of the curve, okay? She decided to get a house in a very dangerous, crummy neighborhood, okay?
Listen, if Luann's still alive in 15 years, it was a good choice, okay? What do you want me to say, Andy?
I just hope she doesn't get gangrene up there, because I hear there's a lot of exposed nails on the rope, because it's so poor and downtrodden, okay?
And Andy's like, yeah, and Tinsley said it would drive her to drink if she lived there. And Tinsley's like, yeah, Andy. And Betsy's like, that's not a far trip. Anything will make her drink. Shut up, Tinsley. Don't talk. Who's talking? No one's talking to Tinsley, all right?
Here, Tinsley, here's a glove. Put your lashes on it and talk to it. Make it into a puppet.
Okay.
Can someone bring in a dozen eggs so Tinsley has something to be preoccupied with? Because seriously, I don't want to hear a dog. Okay.
So,
Bethany just keeps shooting Tinsley down this entire... Every time Tinsley opens her mouth, Bethany's like, shut up! Be quiet!
So now, one of the things that Luann talked about in the clip package is that she moved to Kingston because she had no privacy in Sag Harbor, and there was, like, photographers in the bushes. So, clearly Andy and Bethany have been texting about this. You know, they've had conversations where it's like, this, what is she talking about? It's crazy. So Andy turns to Bethany and goes, so, do you have the same problems in the Hamptons that Lou has? Which is totally a setup for Bethany, right?
Yes, and she answers in the most Bethany way ever. She's like, you know what? I want to stay positive. I want to be constructive. So I'm just going to say, look, nobody has their picture in the paper. I've never seen pictures of you, okay? I get the papers, okay? You're not in any of the pictures. Guess who doesn't have problems? Seinfeld, Billy Joel, Billy Elliot, all right? Betty Crocker, okay? Do you ever see her there? No. No one's hiding in the bushes for Betty Crocker. No one's hiding in the bushes for you, Luann, all right?
Yeah. But then, you know, also what Bethany, like, does not include in that is that Jerry Seinfeld and Billy Joel and Howard Stern and Steven Spielberg and all these celebrities have giant estates with security, okay? Like they have giant gates and fences, okay? Luann had that, like, very adorable house that was, like, right on the street. And, like, you know, like, I mean, Luann does have delusions of grandeur, but, you know, they were able, she basically was like, Luann's like, well, there were photos of me going to get the mail. I was in a yellow dress. I remember it very well, because before my Giovanni days.
Oh, yeah. Madonna doesn't have a problem there, but, you know, she's my neighbor. And, you know, I've talked to her over the fence. I was like, Wilson?
What was the guy's name from Home Improvement? Wilson. I just like imagining Madonna being on the other side of Bethany's fence.
Hey, Madonna, I know I can't see your face, but is anyone taking pictures of you?
Madonna's like, no. Plink, like playing one chord on the guitar that she learned in the 80s.
We are living in a photography world, and I am a photography girl.
Yeah. Madonna's like, I'll tell you one thing. Rain!
It's coming. She I feel it.
True Blue, baby, I love you. Are those carnations that you're growing disgusting? Remember when someone gave her carnations?
Without due respect, Luann, okay, you know, I was at your house, and, like, every time a boat passed, you thought there was a photographer on there taking pictures of you. It's like,
That's true.
I did think that there were photographers. I stand corrected. There were videographers taking video of me, the world's greatest cabaret star.
They love my music.
By the way, I love Bethany's way of, like, discrediting Luann is to brag that Madonna is her neighbor, right?
Yeah.
Of course she would do that. So, how's Sonia's townhouse? It's rented.
For even more money now. It turns out moldy basements get you even more. How in the world is she getting more money after this show has aired? And she's like, well, it rained all over the electrics and the baseboards are all moldy and it smells. And I'm getting $6,000 more a month, Andy.
And I believe it's now currently haunted by a former general of the Civil War. Not the American Civil War, the Spanish one. It's very exciting.
I'll tell you what's a war on civility. Madonna! I wouldn't want her as my neighbor.
I'll tell you that much.
Like a virgin, more like a bitch.
So then, I
cherish the days that I don't have to live next to that B.I.
So then Andy's like, so, Dorinda, you moved too. She's like,
yeah, the second place. Hello, everybody. You know, that's just so Dorinda. Like, knack, knack. It's me, Dorinda Medley from TV's Real Housewives in New York City. And currently, an aerobics show on tour across America.
Have you heard about receipt bags? Let me tell you something about them.
You know how to get time from the cheese shop to take a return on Chevre.
You know, I got what I thought was a Chevre card, which would get me a lot of discounts on Chevre. Turns out, it's actually a Chevrolet business card, so it doesn't do anything for me.
It's a Chevron card. I said, John, go fill up my gas. And it ended up getting filled with Chevron. I haven't driven since, Andy.
Question. Chevron with Techron, is that like a type of cheese?
Techron? I dated him.
Yeah. I actually took a bunch of Chevron with Techron and just like poured it on the basement. I was like, this will get rid of the mold. Anyway, don't light a match down there for the next few years.
So Andy's like, wow, so Dorinda, that apartment is just for you. How's this doing for your relationships?
I'm still having sex with John.
I was like, ugh. That literally made no one feel better, Dorinda. Okay.
I know. Yeah, so Dorinda's like, well, I see him 2 or 3 times a week. And Ramona chimes and goes, well, it kind of adds excitement, okay? Like, you don't see each other every day. It makes it a little more fresh, you know? Or at least as fresh as John's sweaty body can be, okay?
Sweaty baby powder. Whoa. So he's like, and Ramona, you finally sold your place? She's like, well, I accepted an offer, but I'm just waiting for it to come through, okay? I had to lower the price because, like, I looked at my friends who had all moved on, and I was like, what, am I going to keep my price the same? Like, is it going to change my lifestyle? No. Am I still going to look like I'm 3 years old? Yes. So I just did it, Andy. Like any stem cell would. Sold my apartment, okay?
I fell in love with San Pedro. Are we still ragging on Madonna? So Dorinda's like, well, you can move into my building. Everyone's like, actually, the place that I want to move into is... And the access code is... And my security alarm is probably going to be the digits...
Mario. They're like, what? What'd you just say? That was all beeped out.
They're like, do you sure you want to give your address out on national TV?
Like, which it'll probably be on national... It'll be on the blogs. We know where everybody lives now, thanks to Zillow. Thanks a lot, Zillow. How many people have you gotten killed?
Yeah. Yeah. So now, after a commercial, it's time for the Dennis segment, which, of course, is extremely sad. And it's basically 5 minutes of watching a montage of Bethany, rightfully so, losing her shit over the course of the entire season. And, you know, just the shit that she was going through and the grieving and the mourning. And then she meets a guy and then she almost dies of the fish soup. You know, it's just basically like the ongoing trials and tribulations, deservedly so, of Bethany Frankel.
Yeah, so I'm scrolling through. I'm like, awkward. I'm sure Andy will bring up Dennis 30 more times, okay? We can scroll through. Okay, so then we get to some tough questions that people have been asking all year. Like, were you really engaged? What the fuck, Bethany? Why are you saying you're engaged to Dennis and started wearing this ring or whatever? And she's like, well, you know, I didn't consider it engaged. I just said, you know what, I'll take the ring. Okay, because I really like the ring. But, you know, it's like a movie. Like, here I am, a girl, standing in a bookshop. Give me your fucking ring. That thing's expensive. I'll take it. But I'm not going to marry you, asshole. All right, Hugh Jackman? All right? Stop getting in cars with hookers. How about that?
I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy next to Madonna.
I'm just a girl talking over a fence saying, Madonna, could you stop parking in my driveway? All right? You park, I tow.
Okay. You know that song Deeper and Deeper? Okay, guess what? It's about the debt that she owes me for towing her car. I can't help towing a car. I get deeper and deeper in debt from Madonna.
And Andy's like, well, Dorinda is the most amazing friend ever who guided Bethany through injury. And it's like, I don't know about that. Shivali. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, you thought she needed space. Anyway, Dorinda's like, grief is a one-person sport, right? And it was really nice, you know. And then the next segment is Andy. No, Andy goes, so Luann.
It was Andy. The new Andy's sitcom coming to CBS this questions. Fall. It's like Andy with like, Andy moves in to a house. He's got to be like the den mother to a bunch of frat boys. Guys, you have to clean up. Did you have another party while I was out hosting Watch What Happens Live 5 nights a week?
Guys, I have a baby.
It's the story of a gay man with a baby who also has to take care of some frat boys. Who's the real baby here?
So Andy's like, so Luann, what do you think about Dennis? Did Dennis passing make you think about yourself probably passing soon too? How did that feel? Luann's like, no, it didn't make me think about myself. I didn't know him well, but he was very helpful. Bethany's like, and you were happy, right? You were happy that he was helpful. Yes, I was, Bethany. That's what I'm saying.
I thought the world of Dennis. I have a tale to tell.
Click, click. You see, that's all Madonna needed. For me to sing one of her songs. Look, there's someone behind that bush over there taking my picture.
Oh, look. They think I'm Madonna. Easy to mistake us, I guess.
And Andy's like, well, how was he helpful? She's like, I can't talk about that, Andy, because I'm still in it. So how do I say it? How do I say this? Commercial. And then when we come back, she's like, how do I say this?
All right, he got her a powerful lawyer, one of the most powerful in the country. He found out stuff about her case like no one even knew. No one even knew about it. You know how, like, most people would go to jail for murder if Matlock wasn't there? That was basically this guy. He was like Matlock in a decent suit. All right, Andy?
I mean, you remember that show called The Practice with Cameron Manheim? He actually got me Cameron Manheim. I actually had Cameron Manheim on my team. It was amazing.
And then I didn't have a band in court to sing my plea, so he also hired Cameron. He also hired Mannheim Steenroller to come in and play for me,
featuring Edgar Winters, and we had just an amazing time. I said, "Not guilty, hey, not guilty." Try that one on, Madonna.
Mannheim and Mannheim.
Mannheim Square. We're calling it M2 Lou.
I'm 2M Lou for you.
We'll be going on tour. Our opener would be Madonna, but I guess she's too busy getting her car back from Bethany.
So she's like, oh, and don't forget the money. And Andy's like, yeah, so you asked him for $6 million? What the fuck? And she's like, well, look, I asked for Bethany to ask him to help. Okay, look, it's what he does. Bethany, you explain it, Bethany.
He's like, all right. He has a financial services company, you know, but like, look, I was in the car with Brad. We're on a highway. Yeah. Were you buying a house? Shut up, Ramona. All right, shut up, Ramona. Because no one should buy houses on highways, okay? My friend in real estate told me it's disgusting.
Think of buying a house on 5231 Park Avenue, floor 33. Was that what you were thinking of?
She's like, yeah, my phone's blowing up, so I had to pull over on the highway with Bryn.
And Jason's like taking notes, pulled over on the highway with my daughter.
Well, it was the Hamptons Highway, so it wasn't a real highway. Oh, yeah, I know, that's where you live, right? I'm amazing about these things.
So then she's like, yeah, she was manic. She was manic, Andy. She was manic. And yes. Luann's like,
true. That's true. That's
I mean,
true.
How could you not be manic when you love cabaret? I mean, listen, haven't you ever just gotten high and said, I want to buy that mansion. Give me $6 million. It's pretty normal, actually.
Sit down, Mannheim. I didn't object.
Well, that was the end of M2 when I asked Cameron Mannheim for a few bucks. I mean, $6 million. What, she can't give me that? She's an Emmy winner for crying out loud.
So then Andy's like, okay, Bethany, so were you seeing the hot catering guy and this new guy from Boston in between Dennis? Like, how does that timeline work out? And she's like, you know what, Andy? That's a very good question. Like,
oh, Bethany.
Yeah, so it was basically intermittent. All right, it's like intermittent fasting, but for dating. All right, it was intermittent dating. Like you date one guy for 16 hours and another guy for the 8 hours, and you know, I lost weight. Basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you know, I dated Russ for a little bit, but I don't know. He's like really hot, and I don't know, and I'm crazy. And then so then I met Paul, and then I was really needy with Paul, and I was like, okay, I need you to be my wife right now. I need to be the wife. We have to get married. Basically, do you know how to tow cars? Okay, great. So we should get married. And then he was like, I don't want to do anything with you anymore. But then after dinner aside, he came back into my life and he was like, oh, wait, you're like famous and rich. So now we're dating. So it's great.
And basically she's like, yeah, you know, dating all those guys, it was a hard pill for Dennis to swallow. And I was like, oh, God. All right. So in the midst of grieving, you got hot and heavy with your current boyfriend. And she's like, yeah. You know, I remember Tinsley. You know, I really like him. He could be the one, you know, but I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready.
So has anyone actually met Paul? And Ramona's like, whoa, I spoke to him on the phone. He sounds lovely. He was great. He was so informative. And on top of that, he was like, he kept on saying to me, ma'am, my name is not Paul. I'm customer service at AT&T. And I was like, what? I love a man with a sense of humor. And he said, no, I really am here to call you about your plan. And I said, what's my plan? What about your plan with Bethany? He said, well, we have some great rates on new cell phone plans. And I said, you know what you have to sell yourself on is Bethany, because she needs a life partner. It was a wonderful conversation.
Shut up, Ramona. Just, seriously.
Hey, Tinsley, put some lashes on Ramona's mouth, okay?
Okay.
Get some egg lashes on that idiot, all right?
So the next question is, Tinsley, don't you think it's rich that Bethany says you're an asshole for not bringing Scott on camera when she refuses to bring her boyfriend on camera? And Bethany's like, God, I knew this was coming up. I'm like, yeah, I wonder how.
I was ready, Judge Judy. Okay, I've got my dossier here, right here. Okay, so the difference is that Tinsley met Scott on TV, and I met Scott while on TV, but Paul on I was on TV, but he was not on TV. So that's the difference here.
Tinsley's like, so what? What does that have to do with anything? It's like, well, you know, here's the difference, all right? Like, I've thought about this argument with us, all right? Like, it seems like a double standard. Like, I see how it seems like that, you know, because I won't bring my boyfriend on, but I say you should bring your boyfriend on. But come on, not only did you meet him on TV, and not only did he sign a release to be on TV, he also sent you those flowers, the secretary out of flowers. Like, who does that?
Who does that? Even my neighbor, Madonna, doesn't do that. She is my neighbor.
Listen, if Madonna sends somebody the secretary out of flowers, she's going to be on the show. I'm just saying that right now. All right?
Bethany, don't preach. I'm in trouble deep. Bethany, don't preach.
Which, by the way, this argument is totally bogus. You're a fucking hypocrite, Bethany. Okay, come on this
she's
one.
I'm going to give half hypocrite. I do think that she is, yes, theoretically hypocritical. I do think that there is something about listen, I met him off camera. He never wanted to be part of it, whatever. As versus this is a guy who was willing to be on camera. And then suddenly he's like, no, I don't want to be on camera, but I will do a commercial with you, Tinsley and Carol. So I can actually sort of get Bethany's logic. Although Andy does get her, which is basically so if Tinsley asked you to call up Paul on the phone, on camera, would you do it? And she's like, well, you know what? It wouldn't be speakerphone. And I would call him by head of... I'd let him know. And then,
I would, what I would do is I would call him and then just like throw my phone out the window, and it wouldn't be my fault.
And Tessa's like, but the thing is, I wanted Scott to be on the show. I wanted him to. And Betsy's like, you know what, Andy? She just interrupts Tinsley. She says, Tinsley wouldn't even ask me that. Shut it down. And then Tinsley's like, oh, I only got asked one thing, and it's all reunion.
And she, and not only that, Tinsley is in spot number two on the couch. So,
is that good?
Well, meaning the rank of importance are whoever is sitting next to Andy is like the most important and most central to the drama. Then whoever's on the outside has the least amount of stuff happening. So Tinsley's actually central, but I guess she'll probably have a big like moment. By the way, Ronnie, your vape smoke ruined the Regency for a second. You have to be careful.
I wasn't on camera. Okay,
no, the smoke came on and it ruined the green screen effect. You have to be careful.
But you can only see the person who's talking at the same time. Do you see what I'm saying? So wow. No one saw that. You just ruined the illusion for everyone. So thanks for ruining my life. Hey.
So anyway, so Bethany, what's going on with your company?
She's like, okay, you know what? Like I was gonna sell the company, but then like as I got closer, I got really nervous. So instead of selling it, I just laid off a bunch of people. Okay, I just laid off everyone. Okay, I still have what's the matter, what's happening, what's going on, and also what are you talking about?
But everyone else. I had to let go of, what's your name? What's your name? I had to let go of her. It just didn't work out.
Yeah. So I said, you know what, Madonna? I'm not going to sell this to you. All right? I'm keeping it. I see potential.
And he's like, so Dennis is supposed to be nice. Why was he trying to drag you out of life or whatever? And she's like, you know what? I was on a stretcher and I swear on everything. He was pulling me, which is very him. You know, it's very him to see me in a picture with someone looking happy. And then him being like, let's go on a trip. Let's go on a trip to heaven. All right. Yeah, there's a great horn player up there. Come on. Let's go. And then he's like, well, do you have any guilt for being with Paul so soon? And she's like, no, you know, and I thought of the optics of that. And I just love that Bethany is the mayor of everything in her mind, you know? She's like, yeah, I thought of the optics, but, you know, it is what it is. Like, he wanted to make sure it's not transference, you know? Like, I wanted to bang that kind of Fisher Stevens guy. Like, I was like, you're not leaving the house, Dr. Fisher Stevens, all right? Yeah. I'm going to bang you. By the way, he was also on Boston Market, or whatever that show is with the Manhattan girl.
Boston Market.
You ever see that show? You know that show? Like, it's a show. It's sort of an interactive show. You actually walk into the show and you order, like, food, you know?
You start arguing with mac and cheese. You know how it goes.
Boston Market. So then, but he's like, you know what? I'm unhappy. I had to get off the ride, and I'm unhappier right now. And you know what? I think Tinsley, that's why I was like yelling at you, because I was like projecting onto Tinsley, because I could see that she was on another ride, and it was basically a train to nowhere. Respectfully.
Respectfully.
Basically, Tinsley's life is in a one-way direction. It's going down a toilet, okay? Like, you know, you ever seen a plunger? Like, Tinsley's like the bottom of the plunger, and you stick it in, and the plunge plunges, and she just gets sent down the pipe. Okay, that's what's happening to Tinsley. Respectfully.
Yeah, Tinsley's on one of those rides. She's like on that ride, It's a Small World at Disneyland. It's like the dumbest ride ever. And you're like, why do they have an office ceiling in this ride? Like, this is the worst ride ever. And you're going through it and you're like, you know, I guess this is entertaining at one time, but it's like no longer entertaining. And it should just all be burned to the ground. Respectfully. No offense.
You ever go on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride? That's sort of like what Tinsley's life is. It's like you're on this old car. And you're driving along, and suddenly, next thing you know, you're, like, sent down to hell. And you don't even know why. And you don't even know who Mr. Toad is. Like, what is Mr. Toad? Like, and why am I on this ride? And why is he such a bad driver? And, like, that's sort of, like, the trajectory of Tinsley's life. Respectfully.
Respectfully. So Andy's like, well, a summer standoff led to malice that even the Tyler Perry, quote, couldn't calm down. Would years of history help these two mend their fences? Or would they be sleeping with the fishes? I was like, how many metaphors are you going to mix here? Just spit it out, for Christ's sake, okay? You don't have to talk like a genie in a bottle. Just fucking spit it out, dude.
So we get like an extended segment of Luann and Dorinda and their up and down situation this past season, starting with them feuding at the start of the season and the clam bake, and then sort of a resolution, and Luann going to the Berkshires and being like a diva, and then there's like an apology, but then Luann also like tries to do this Giovanni thing, and Dorinda's like, I'm even lawyers, and then the whole segment ends with Luann at her Christmas show saying like that Jingle Bells thing where in the end everyone goes Giovanni, Giovanni, Giovanni. So we come out of the segment, and Dorinda goes, well, thank God I gave her that. I mean, it's half the show. I mean, your show is a combination of dresses and taking the piss out of your castmates. I'm like, That's a great advertisement for it, if you ask me.
Yeah, no kidding. Why the hell would anybody want to go to it otherwise, okay? And you deserve everything you're getting, ma'am. I still really like Dorinda, but she gets really fucking nasty.
Well, I love, like I said before, I love Dorinda, but her inability to still admit in a few moments that, like, she's not heckling. What's always sort of bothered me was that Dorinda was so good to Lou. She really was by her side. Everything she says is true, but it was like Luann made one small thing, one small comment, oh, she's turning, and Dorinda just, like, came at Luann. Like, she hit below the belt, and she came with, like, daggers out. So even if Luann is being haughty, the punishment did not fit the crime. And I don't think that Dorinda ever has acknowledged, like, how she was wrong in that moment. And that, I think, is the core of all of this fight.
Well, yeah, it definitely started it, but then Luann got over that and totally forgave it. And then the next thing was, like, you didn't even turn to the loo. Which we get into bit later. So she's like, Andy's like, do you feel unappreciated? And she's like, well, you know, I did everything for her because she's in rehab, and she's been out of control and went to rehab a second time. And Luann's like, what does that have to do with anything? Why are you bringing that up? And Bethany's like, well, she felt like you were exploiting Giovanni. She's like, well, she started it by heckling me in the audience. Are we all forgetting that? Which is true. I mean, that whole thing came because Dorinda made it famous by heckling her, which she still won't admit doing.
Yeah, and the thing is this, if Dorinda had acknowledged that she was heckling, she would have actually been the one to, she couldn't claim Giovanni, because to claim it is to acknowledge that you were heckling, right? So, because she never acknowledged it, Luann got to claim it, and now Dorinda is mad that it's, like, not her thing to claim, right?
Yeah, and so Dorinda's like, you wouldn't even have a dress if it weren't for me. You would have nothing to wear. You'd be naked if it weren't for me. I'm like, oh my God. Jesus Christ.
I was there for you constantly the first time you went to jail. And I was like, oh, the first time?
What do you mean the first time?
You weren't there in Milan in 1996. I mean, I've only been to jail once.
Listen, I've been to jail once and to pokey three times. All right, get it straight, Dorin.
And by pokey, I mean that delicious Japanese bowl of fish. You know, the kind that Madonna doesn't like to eat. Huh.
Also stopped at Pokey Joe's one time in Austin. Delicious.
By the way, I created a new dance called the Hokey Pokey in honor of Pokey. It's great.
How could you take that from me?
You take my favorite dance and you piss on it.
You know the pokey. Giovanni! That's the chicken dance to it.
You can't do it. It's electric. Boogie woogie hokey pokey. No, no, no.
Oh, Magdalena. So Andy's like, well, you did imply that she went to jail more than once. And Luann goes, you make me feel like shit, because that's what you do, Dorin.
You just love it. I love when Luann just starts talking like she's out of Dynasty.
So Andy's like, well, Luann, why was getting a phone call from Dorinda so important to you? You brought that up a lot. She's like, well, she was in the Hamptons where I lived, and she didn't reach out or text me nothing. And she's like, yeah, you wanted me to kiss your ring. You wanted to kiss your ring, right?
No, of course not. I just was busy because there were all those photographers in the bushes. I had my broom out, swatting them all away. I was like, go to Madonna's house. She's the one who needs some attention, right? Right?
And Andy's like, well, you said you didn't need a trigger. How was Dorinda a trigger? And she's like, well, she didn't reach out, which is exactly what guns do, Andy. They don't reach out. Case closed, Cameron Mannheim. Sing it, honey.
Reach out and touch someone. That's for you, AT&T. Whoa, that's where Paul works. So, Dorinda's like, listen, you were writing me. I thought we were in a good place. I give you my prayer card.
Give me my prayer card.
And he's like, you know what I realize? Last year at the reunion, Luann wasn't here because she fell off the horse and was trying to buy a mansion in Kingston and also sleeping with her agent, and her kids were suing her. So she wasn't here. So you guys never really got to hash it out in this totally destructive, unhelpful forum. I think that's the problem.
Yeah. And it's like, hold on there, Andy Cohen. Right? Andy Cohen, you better listen up. This woman does nothing but ignore me. I reach out and do everything I can. I bend over backwards. Listen, the first grade I was given two gifts. I was given a prayer card and a flask. And she took my prayer card, Andy Cohen.
Well, you come to Hampton, you don't even call me. Well, what's that? I was taking the high road. No, it's called the highway, and Bethany lives on it. Very big class A.
It's called property value going down. You can thank Bethany Frankel for that, okay?
Trust me, I'm a maven. So Andy is like, well, by the way, to be fair, it was Bethany who said that Dorinda shouldn't be at the clam bake. It wasn't Luann. And then Dorinda's like, I don't care. You know what? You've been not nice to a lot of us. And we have moved on. And we've been nice. And to be honest with you, I don't feel like you have any substance anymore. Substance abuse, correct. I don't do that at all.
Your whole life has been one big cabaret with the Countess. And so you keep going back to that. I really hate that you keep saying the name Cabaret with the Countess. Countess, 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 Cabaret. Tickets anywhere from $25,000 to $5,000. Available at Ticketmaster.com, Dorinda. Please stop saying the name of my show, Cabaret with the Countess. Please stop, Dorinda.
Listen, you're not the old Luann. I am. I'm the same old Lou. I mean, every day I walk through the Hamptons and people go, who's that girl? Like Luann.
Pacanitas, Cocoritas, who's that girl?
Where's the party? It's at Luann's Cabaret. Where's the party?
And Andy's like, so when you watched the show, how did you feel about Dorinda being so upset about the demise of your friendship? And Luann's like,
I was upset, Andy, of course. I was very, very hurt. I was so upset. And like, you were everything. She's like, well, it was hard for me to warm up, you know. I missed our friendship, Dorinda. I wanted to get it back.
And Andy's like, so let's talk about Tyler Perry.
is Tyler Perry not capable of a deep thought? And the wing goes, of course he is. Of course. Of course Tyler Perry is. I mean, I don't know how deep your thoughts could be if you don't even live in the Hamptons and don't have photographers in your bushes, but you can, I guess, have a somewhat deep thought.
Yeah, Andy, who's going to argue? Tyler Perry is a poet, okay? He made movies called Big Mama's House. Of course. Of course, one of the greatest poet laureates of all time, Andy.
Yes, and Dorinda goes, I can do no right in your mind, Luann, because she's, like, upset that Luann sort of, like, disregarded Dorinda's Tyler Perry quote. She goes, you know, you decided that I can never do right by you after I sit by you like a soldier through these reunions.
Oh, yeah, you're really nice, Dorinda. You've been really nice to Luann throughout these reunions, Dorinda. Jesus. And Luann's like, yes, well, you were a soldier, and then you let me down.
Yeah, you were like a soldier who's unreliable. An unreliable soldier. Yeah, that's all I have.
Yeah, there's a song in there somewhere, but soldier, you know what? I'm going to wait for Ben to get back from vacation to work that one out.
We're thinking about doing a Donny Osmond Soldier of Love parody. I'm a soldier of love.
I got a song for you. I gave you my prayer card. I gave you my prayer card in the first grade.
When I see Dorinda, it's like a little prayer card. I'm down on my knees saying, what the fuck is this card?
She's like, well, how do you think I felt being heckled? And Dorinda's like, then you shouldn't give somebody I loved out of your life like I just cut him out of my apartment. Wait a minute, I did just kind of cut him out. Okay, never mind. Let's hug.
See, this is where Luann always messes up. Because when Dorinda talks about the prayer card, it's like actually like very, you know, she's like, this is a prayer card. I got it my first communion. I carried it through everything, including Richard's death. And I gave it to you with all my heart. And Luann's response should not have been, and you heckled me. It should have been like, I appreciate that. And I truly, truly do. And it's not like tee up before you get to the heckling. I don't know. It was like, kind of.
Like, I agree
Luann.
With you, but Dorinda, went, that heckling thing happened after Dorinda dressed her down in the Bahamas, too. Right. And Dorinda just doesn't want to remember anything. It's like she totally turned on Luann, and they were in the Bahamas, right? Is that where they were?
They were, no, they were
Cartagena.
But I think, yeah. But, like, I mean, if it were me, the way I would have said is, like, you know what? When you gave me that prayer card, that was so beautiful, and I treasure it, and I still treasure it despite everything that happened. However, it does not take away from the fact that you were saying that you're saying that you were so loyal to me, and then I make one comment, and you came at me in the meanest possible way, and then on top of that, you then were, like, heckling me at my show. It made me call into question how sincere you actually were. That's all you have. That's all Luann has to say. But when she says, "But you heckled me," it makes it seem very much like, "But what about me?" You know, it's like it's not quite right.
Yeah. So then, Luann's then it becomes Luann
goes,
about,
"You treated me like an animal." Okay, come on, Luann. It was heckling.
Well, Dorinda did say, "You're an animal" during the season. Oh, yeah. So it's like, "You treated me like an animal. You literally called me an animal. That wasn't very nice."
That's not nice at all.
So then she's like, "You pissed all over someone I love." And Luann is like, "Listen, you don't remember Dorinda, but I have the text." And Dorinda's like, "Oh, really? Yeah, I have the texts too. You said buy a ticket. That's what you said." And Luann's like, "I'll look it up. And since Carol Radzivill's not here, please let's remember Carol Radzivill in the spirit of these readers."
"I'll bring on these readers and let me just look in my purse. Oh, look, it's some of my Countess Luann merchandise. Oh, look at that. Big shot of my face on this bag right here." No, it was actually Louis
Statement
Vuitton.
Readers.
Yeah. So while Luann's getting her bag out, Wesley from Burbank. Wesley from Burbank, you live close to us, and I think I want to meet you, Wesley, because this question was so shady and hilarious. He goes, "The Cambridge Dictionary defines the word heckle as to interrupt the performer with loud, unfriendly statements or questions. Why did you keep denying that you did that when it's so clear that you did?" Whenever you bring up like a dictionary definition or question, that's just great shit.
And so Dorinda's like, "Well, I was at the wrong question." No, I was like, "That answer makes no sense." So Dorinda's like, "Well, look, is this where she says?"
Yeah, she goes, "Listen, I was heckling. Luann was up there, and she asked the crowd if we liked the dress, and I just said, oh, yeah, Giovanni.
Yeah, I was just saying the name of the designer. I wasn't heckling. I was just saying Giovanni, like this. Giovanni,
you fucking bitch."
And she does it again. And they show us this clip of when this happened, when she was heckling. And remember Dorinda came, like, she was sloshed to hell, and her eyes were bloodshot, and they were so mean, and she had on that really thick eyeliner, and she just looked evil as hell.
It never gets old, because they always show the same thing. They always show people, like, happy in the audience, going, "Giovanni," and people cheering, and Luann cheering, and everyone happy, and then it always just cuts to Dorinda,
like giving this horrid face.
And then they always cut to Ramona afterwards, looking at Dorinda like, "Holy shit."
Yeah. And Luann's like, "I can't believe you still don't own this." And Dorinda's like, "You little can't think. It's that page out of Lou's notebook."
And then, by the way, everyone at the reunion's like, "I mean, come on, Dorinda. You're heckling. You can admit it. It's fine." And she's like, "No, I wasn't. I was supporting a brand that I really liked."
And I love that this all stems from a fat Jewish fight. That's the best part. I didn't know that this was the fat Jewish table. Yeah. And
by the way, for those who are not clear, Ronnie is not saying fat Jewish as in descriptors, like, "Oh, it's a fat Jewish fight." It was pertaining to the internet star, the fat Jewish.
Yeah, if I had said fat Lebanese, I would have been typing my LinkedIn, okay? I'm not shaming anybody. So she's like, I had the text to say it. And then Andy's like, "Give me the text. Let me just read the text, okay?" Yeah. "Let me just read it." So he starts reading them off. And they're both wrong, which is so funny. Like, when you bring text evidence and both of you have completely read it wrong.
Yeah.
You're Looney Tunes.
Yeah, so basically Andy's reading Luann's phone, and Dorinda had texted Luann being like, "Oh, so the fat Jewish gets a table, but not John?" And Luann responds, "Hi, I'm at a mammogram. John is always welcome. You only had to ask. Not sure the status." So, okay, that was like, so she is saying, yeah, John is always welcome, which is fine. "You only had to ask" is a little passive aggressive, though. "Not sure the status." I actually get that, because she's like, "It's the day of the show. I'm doing a mammogram. I don't know how many comps are left," or whatever, you know, like, "You figure it out," is basically what she's saying.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you have to remember, I was very nervous. I mean, that was the day of my show. It wasn't a week before my show. It wasn't 3 days before my show. It was the day of my show. And I'm getting a mammogram.
Yeah. And, so then Dorinda wrote back saying, okay, I just, you know, John found out through a third party and now he's mad. He doesn't even want to come anymore. And Luann's response was, love you. Not my problem. It's my big night. Break a leg would have been a better message. You should have asked sooner if you wanted him there.
Which is... And I'm just fine having an all-girls night. And by the way, I still have 2 breasts, so the results are in. Okay? Fine. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, she didn't say buy a ticket. She's like, yeah, this was the day of my show. And Andy goes, yeah, but come on, Luann. It's showbiz, okay? And we're all in showbiz here. Look, I do a show with Anderson Cooper, and I'll get texts all day during this. I'm like,
well, no, I actually thought that Andy was in a weird way. I thought he was actually supporting her, which is like... It'll be the day of, and then all of a sudden everyone texts you and everyone wants a ticket. And, like, you know, it is tricky. I mean, we actually understand a little bit. Like, there'll be times where we'll be like, a random friend will be like, oh, can I come to your show tonight? And I'll be like, I'll see if I can get a ticket. You know, it's not, you actually can't just always, like, there are actually just, like, a certain number of seats and fire codes. So I actually, like, in a weird way, I actually understood what Luann was saying, but she was being very fresh. And I think that, like, I think part of it was that, like, when Dorinda says, well, John is mad, Luann is already, instead of saying, her response should have been like, ugh, I'm so sorry, I'll see what I can do. You know, this is a misunderstanding. She can already sense that Dorinda's going to start a fight. So she's like, you know what? It's not my problem. And you should have, like, asked sooner instead of, like, waiting for the last minute. But it's not nice. It's not, I understand what was going through Luann's head. So I understand it, but I don't think it was as nasty as it was intended. But I don't think, as Bethany said, she wasn't thinking of the optics, and it was not a nice way to respond.
And Bethany's like, oh, come on, it's not like hosting the Academy Awards. It's a fucking cabaret. Give me a break.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I was nervous. It was my cabaret. It was my Academy Awards. The Academy Awards of Luann.
Yeah, and so Andy's like, well, what about when you went to Dorinda's house and you made all those requests, like for the massage therapist and the yoga person? I mean, were you just being a diva and trying to make Dorinda make it up to you and kiss your butt? And she's like, well, I mean, I can see why people would think that, but I can also see why people would think that I have a perfect body. I do, because of yoga and massage. Thank you, Countess and friends.
Well, it wasn't a crazy request. I mean, we often have yoga. I mean, everywhere I go, there's often yoga. People provide it for me. That's just what happens when you're a star with photographers in your bushes. You get free yoga.
You haven't lived until you have a yoga class when your yoga teacher pulls out a camera and starts doing you in a down dog. All right, Andy?
Listen, Dorinda, she was very gracious. She was a very gracious hostess, considering it's Dorinda and she has lots of problems, okay? She was very, very gracious.
She's like, look, I know my reaction was terrible, but I was just trying to keep my shit together at that point, and now I feel very bad about it.
And Bethany's like, oh, no, you weren't, because then later that night we were talking, and you were, like, relishing in it. You were relishing in it, and you were like, yeah, you just wanted her to bend down and kiss your ass. No.
Fucking Bethany, Jesus. So Luann's like, well, you want to know how I felt? I felt cold about it. They're like, well, what does that mean? Cold, you know, frío, as they say in Spain. Yeah. I felt like a frío frittata. That's a cold frittata in Spain. I felt chile. That's how they say chili in Chile, but it's also how we say cold in America. Thank you, Andy.
Listen, I felt bad because it was almost like I just walked in there and I told Dorinda, I want you to justify my love for you as a friend. And that was wrong. That was wrong.
I watched, and I was like, what? I can't cry? I can't show emotion? Can I only show emotion when I'm singing Liza Minnelli songs poorly on a stage, sitting on a backwards chair? I don't know. Let's try it, everybody. 3, 2, 1, hit it, boys!
Maybe this time I won't be cold. Here, I want to give you a hug because I'm not feeling cold. I'm defrosted. I feel defrosted and warm.
She gets up and gives Dorinda a hug. And this is so Dorinda. And this is the Dorinda I love. That's like,
fuck you. I hope you die. Go to hell. You screwed all my little. I love you. I've always loved you. It's the problem.
I can't even be friends. I wasn't angry. I was confused. You know, the person I knew for 13 years. You know, we used to sit and laugh our asses off, give each other prayer cards. You know, yeah.
Lynn's like, miss you, girl. I miss you. I'm like, what? So now it's all over. And she's like, all right, well, there, settled. And she's like, we're never going to talk about it again. Promise. We're putting a period on it.
And I have to say, you know, in defense of Luann, who's my best friend that we've never had a fight before, I have to say that about the Berkshires, I think you were nervous. I think you were nerved up. And I think, you know, you was almost like you were looking for a way to get out of it. You know, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like a loophole. You know what I'm saying? We're best friends again. I love her.
And you know what? You coming to the Berkshires, that was brave. You know, that's what I've always said about my friend Luann. Bravery.
And Bethany, like the peanut gallery. She's just like, all right, you know what, Lou? What you said right now, that was very human. Well done. Well done. Very human. Well done. Came across as very, very human.
That was sincere. That was sincere. That was like when Ramona said I had a hard night when I got allergies. I was like, it was very, very sweet. Very sweet.
It was a very Haley Joel Osment moment where I was like, who's a robot? Who is it? Is he a robot? Like, is he not a robot? Is it a real little boy? Like, literally, I don't even know anymore.
I was like, I see dead people. And it's like me because I'm like bald over by this right now. I'm like dead. So then Andy's like, wow, I love a reconciliation. Now, I don't want to go backwards, but I'm like, what? We just got them to hug. It felt like this like tension was like finally like this thing was like lifted off of us, off our shoulders. And Andy's like, so about that cabaret award that you did, Luann, what'd you think about that, Dorinda?
It's like, well, I was trying to wait. And Bethany's like, shift the narrative, octave, optics, shift the narrative. It's like, yes, shift to whatever Bethany's talking about, okay? I was just trying to make it funny. And he goes, did you really call a lawyer, Dorinda? And she's like, I did.
Yeah.
I did. And I said, how can I get the cheese guy to take receipts? Right?
Have you ever tried to put a legal invoice inside a receipt bag? It's very hard, but if you fold, you can do it. You can only fold 7 times, though. You cannot do more than 7 folds on a piece of paper.
Hey, can you listen here, Cameron Mannheim? I'm getting my money back for this cheese. And she ate the other half of the log.
Yeah. So Dorinda's like, you know what? I'm so over this Giovanni thing. I'm like, over it. And Andy's like, well, guess what? DJ, hit Luann's newest track. And we go, feeling Giovanni. Feeling Giovanni.
Awkward. And Luann's just sitting there mouthing all the words. And
she is
like
singing along
to her dancing in her
louder, louder. It needs to be loud. It needs to be very loud. Loud, louder. Feeling Giovanni. Yeah.
And Bethany's like, congrats. That was fun. That was really fun. Congrats. Congrats. Okay? That was really, seriously, that was really fun. And Dorinda's like, that's catchy. I love his songs. I love his songs. I get dressed to him.
Yeah, Dorinda's like trying to be nice, but you can see she's like annoyed. But also, Dorinda, at this point, like, Japan is really not about you. It really isn't about Dorinda anymore. But Luann's like, you know, I was just saying to my agent the other day, that's what we have when you're a star in cabaret. You have a cabaret agent. I said,
a cabaret agent.
Stage, a cabaret agent. Getting on stage for me feels so good. It's a diversion for me that I really need right now because I'm not drinking, okay? The only thing I'm drinking is cabaret, and I don't know what I'd do without it, right? Am I right, ladies? Support me.
What am I drinking? A clef scale, okay? That's it. So thank you, cabaret, for everything you've done for me.
And he's like, well, it's great to see you two in a better place. And she's like,
yeah, it's only taken a year. God, I love your music. Hey, play something else, all right? Play another Luann song. This is funny, isn't it, Luann?
Well, here's my new song. It's called Clip, Clip, Clip. Oh, God, you fucking bitch.
So everyone's like, wow, they finally made up. This is so nice. Next week on the second part of the reunion, and Dorinda's like, shut up, Luann.
Yeah, because they Dorinda's say, well, hopefully this can last again. The rest of the night. I think Andy says that, right? Hopefully this will last a long time and hopefully the rest of the tonight. And it's like, boop, coming up next, you fucking bitch.
Classic. What a show. What a great reunion, guys. What a great part one.
I know. I love this show. So let's go pivot over to the Crappens mailbag.
Ding, 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 ding,
might be time to change up the Crappens mailbag music, right? I think it might be time. So, everyone, the Crappens mailbag is, if you support us on Patreon, you can write in questions and comments, and we'll read them on the air. It's super fun. Well, so, this week, let's see, who should we do? Well, here's one. from Alexandra Light, who says, "Hi, Ben and Ronnie. Longtime listener, first-time mailbagger." Well, welcome, Alexandra Light.
Hi, Alexandra.
She has two questions. Okay, we'll let you do two questions. She says, "Do you think you will ever come to a show in London? From being in various Watch What Happens groups, I know you have a lot of European fans. Number two, so many Bravo celebrities actually listen to the show, many of whom you discuss each week. Does this creep into your conscious at all when you are recapping? I know you try hard not to let it influence you, but it must a tiny bit." So first and foremost, London, I mean, you never know. I mean, that certainly would be super fun. I will send out a survey at some point. Be like, if you're in London, like, who, we need just to figure out who lives there. And like, we don't want to fly halfway across the world and have like 10 people show up, you know.
We'd love to go to London, and we'd also love to go to Australia. We've got a lot of really fun listeners in Australia, and so I would love to do that. We just need to kind of get off our butts and do it.
Yeah, we have this, for the crappies, we have this SurveyMonkey subscription, so we can do surveys, and, I'll do one where we'll ask about, we're going to ask about Vegas again, because there's another follow-up question I've got to ask that we didn't ask in the last one. We'll ask about Vegas, New Orleans, London, and Australia. So keep an eye out for that, because it's really important for us to get this data, because, you know, for us to get to these places, like, especially like Australia, you know, it's no cheap flight over there, you know? So, it's a lot, it's an investment of time and energy, okay? So, personally, I would love an excuse to go to London and to reenact many pivotal scenes from Ladies of London. Number two, about the Bravo celebrities who listen to the show, Ronnie, does it creep into your consciousness at all when you are recapping?
It does. Well, I still shit talk like a madman, but yeah, it does creep in there, and I feel kind of guilty after. But I feel, you know, we tell everybody. I'm especially really good at telling everybody that we meet the first time we meet them, especially if we're getting along and having a fun night and like drinking and stuff. I always say, "Listen, it's great to meet you, and we work alone at home, just with each other, and it's really great to make." Work friends, you know, like who kind of are in our realm or whatever, and it's great, but I'm always gonna shit talk you, and I'll probably be even meaner now because now I'm gonna have like that trying to make up for knowing you or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I kind of do get that way. I feel like I've gotten that way with Rinna. I'm really mean to Rinna.
I feel like for me, I mean, it does affect me. I can't act like I'm just like, you know, made of stone and I don't think about that. It does affect things. But I think also, it also provides a challenge, right? I think in a really good way, because it's like, how, you know, if I do have these shady thoughts, how can I be shady in a way that's not trolling? It's really important for me, actually, that like, I'm not trying to ever troll anyone. I don't think you are either. We're not trying to be, like, nasty.
I am.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I am.
I mean, look. Listen, I'm acting like I'm not trying to troll anyone, and you then tune into me like ranting about who knows what. But that's truly not my goal. My goal, I don't want someone to ever listen and just have like really hurt feelings. I really don't. What I want to do is like express what I feel when I watch the show, and try to be funny about it. And I think like when I know that someone's listening, it's not so much that I pull punches, but I'm like, how can I still land this punch in a way that's like clever and funny, and that they only, so that way it's ultimately a roast, right? And there is a fine line between roasting and trolling, and I'm not saying that I'm always on the right side of that line, but I think that's like, I think it's really important, you know, that like I want that person, if they hear it, they're like, oh god, that's mean, but it's also so true, and I can't help but laugh. That's what I hope that people hear. And I think all it does, I think when knowing that certain people are listening, it just forces me to try to up my game and try to be more creative than just saying fuck her. Like, my least favorite thing is when I'm trying to like make a joke and it just comes out, the only thing I can think of at that moment is like fuck her. Like, that's like not creative or interesting, you know? So yeah, that's how it affects me.
Okay, what else is in there, Ben?
Well, Dashcat says, "Hey gents, if you could have your own co-host over, or have your co-host over for a home-cooked meal and could make anything within your capabilities, what would you make him? The catch is that you can't consult with each other, and you have to choose a Top Chef contestant, past or present, as your sous chef." Oh, okay. "I'm predicting a lot of Ina Garten and biscuits." So, Ronnie, what would you make for me? And I'll tell what I would make for you.
Well, you know, you just said it. Biscuits, because those are tried and true. I know how to make those really well. And
Probably just biscuits. Or maybe I'd make a lot of tortillas, because I'm a killer flour tortilla maker as well. Yeah. And then I could let you make stuff to put in it. And my sous chef would be that surly girl from Top Chef. She didn't win this fucking season, did she? She was like second place or some bullshit like that. Sarah, goddamn it. You know, I would have her do it.
Yeah. I think for me, you know, it's interesting. I don't know what I would necessarily make for you, because I feel like the foods that you seem to like the most are also the foods that you are like really well versed in, and like, you know, like Tex-Mex, Lebanese, etc. And I feel like if I were to make something Lebanese or Tex-Mex, it just like ultimately, like, it's not like you, not that you would do it better. Not, it's not like that, a competitive thing, but it's more like, oh, this is your jam. So I don't want to like do my, like, it's like, oh, this was like, that was nice, Ben. You know, like, so I don't know. I think I would, for you, I would probably just, I probably would consult Ina Garten and just make something that looks really good and something that's tried and true.
Well, I hope if you consult Ina Garten, you make some homemade pasta, because I saw her making that and I really want it now.
Okay, I'll make you a pasta. I'll make you, do you like penne alla vodka?
Hell yes. I love penne alla anything. Penne's my favorite. Well, rigatoni's my favorite. And penne is like my favorite rigatoni little sister.
But I would have to make a vegetarian, which is, oh, I know what I would make for you. So there's this cookbook I have called Back Pocket Pasta by Kolu Henry. It's really good. Every pasta dish I've made out of it has been amazing. And one of the dishes sort of reimagines like the tried and true butternut squash or pumpkin ravioli in like a sage brown butter sauce, which is very like you see that in a lot of Italian restaurants. And it reimagines that as like a pasta bake. So essentially you like make this, you make the pasta and then you toss it with like creme fraiche and like ricotta, and then you make this like brown butter with sage and you pour it all over it, and you include either pumpkin or butternut squash and you bake the whole thing, and it is like just the most amazing thing. It's like you eat it and you're like, I cannot believe this is a real thing. So I'm making that for you, Ronnie.
My God, I'm intermittent fasting. We shouldn't be talking about food.
I know,
food.
I'm on my keto thing again, so this is not going to help me.
We're so gay right now, both being on diets. So like, oh my God, I'm on keto. I'm intermittent fasting. Oh my God, I'm not. The gayest.
Well, let's close up this mailbag and get to the weekend.
Dun, 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 dun. I just do that music because people on the video don't hear the music that's playing.
Oh, that's helpful. That's good. anyway, you guys, thanks for listening to us this week. And have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks for being here. Go get your Atlanta tickets. Go get all your tickets. We've got many shows. Get your shirts. And also, if you want to see this video recap, it is on our Patreon. So just go to Crappens On Demand on Patreon and you'll have access to the videos. Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend this weekend, okay?
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week, we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
Hello, Ed Gamble here.
And James Acaster.
And we're here to tell you about our podcast,
Off Menu.
We talk to a special guest every week about their dream meal, James.
We ask them what the best ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink they've ever had is in order to create their dream meal.
We've had some great guests back in Series 1, including Sindhu V,
Jack McBrayer,
Victoria Corrin-Mitchell,
and Tom Kerridge.
We've got some great guests coming up in Series 2, so why don't you join us in the Dream Restaurant? Also, James is a genie.
Pop it up, Zorbread!
That's the catchphrase.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.